Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Jeffrey Zabar's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Jeffrey is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, coming up on 16 years. Later this year, we'll celebrate his 16th anniversary as a great member of our Brain Trust. He is the chief home officer. He's an award-winning journalist. He's an author, the author of at least three books, maybe more than some that I don't know about. He's our good friend, Jeffrey. Welcome back to the show.
Books, those have been pirated, and the data's been stolen and taken into like China and Russia and all the hinterlands.
I heard when they got there, they gave them back though.
They gave them back. They said, "What is this? What is this nonsense?"
Hey, he's having some fun with us, folks. Because yesterday was Data Privacy Day, and so what is data? What does that mean, Jeff? What does data privacy mean? Is it as intuitive as it sounds?
I think it's a misnomer in today's day and age.
Yeah.
No matter what you put out there, nothing remains private.
It doesn't really exist, does it?
Well, it does. As long as, you know, it's funny, back when we had a bunch of the hacking issues going on and whatnot, which is all the time, but a couple years ago, some editorial cartoonist drew a picture of an inkwell and a quill and said, "Hack this." You know, so
right.
it does exist for those who, you know,
off the grid. If you're off the grid.
If you're off the grid, exactly. We're going off the grid.
My mother-in-law is off the grid, so I think she's safe.
Exactly. But, I mean, data privacy, it's a worry that, you know, the more valuable your data is to you and the more proprietary it is to your clients, the more important data privacy should be to you. And it's not a misnomer. And it's not sort of an oxymoron in the digital age that, you know, you can't have data and have it private. You have to expect that you have to keep your defenses up.
Well, isn't there two kinds of data that we have? There's the data that is our activity, that the people who collect that who infringe upon our privacy. They know what we did. They know where we went. They know what we bought, or what our interests are, what our inclinations are. But they don't necessarily know that this who we are.
Right.
They might not even know. Maybe they know an IP address, but maybe not. But basically, they know in the aggregate. They know what people are doing. They don't. They just don't know who those people are. That's
right.
Is that not? That's one kind. The other kind,
one form of
and
data,
the other kind
absolutely.
Is where they know all the things I just said, and they know it was you.
Right. Well, and I look at data, you know, data privacy in two different ways. I take it even further than that. I take data privacy, for example, as, you know, one being the data that we give away or that is gathered by data mining companies, and that's the process.
Right.
Data
when
mining.
When you don't click the button that says, if you don't want us to send this your information to other people, you better click this button.
Right, exactly. So that, as well as our own data, that is, you know, that we have, that we put out on the Internet, you know, not voluntarily, but share across the Internet, you know, whether
right.
it's in encrypted or unencrypted emails or posting to different servers and the like, or even putting on Google and things like that, the data that we're providing that could be proprietary data.
Right.
So, you know, there's also the point and our two thoughts here are converging into one, that we have all sorts of data that through our efforts, our best efforts, we can keep safe, and through our best efforts, we even you know, despite our best efforts, cannot keep, you know,
right.
closed.
Well, and I remember having this conversation, golly, 15 years ago with people who were really, in those days, were emerging as the data security experts, and I was asking them about, you know, I was a little indignant about the fact that people might know what I was doing, and he said, "Well, wait a minute." He said it was Jonathan Zuck who said this. He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "Sometimes it's handy." He said the convenience. Sometimes a business somebody you do business with, if they know what you've done in the past, it can be handy for you. And he was talking about things that a lot of people who maybe are a little bit less, you know, concerned about privacy than you and I are, they like the handiness of people, of organizations and how you want to use things.
Well, I think there's a convenience factor to that. And
isn't that what's kind of lulled us being able to isn't the use of technology, the fun of it, the way to build community, hasn't that kind of softened our defenses? Yeah, that's the right word. Our defenses against privacy.
It absolutely has, and I think that also what has happened is we've become sort of less concerned about it and sort of, you know, lulled into a sense of, if not security, a sense of that it doesn't really matter. You know, how many people have I had arguments with, you know, discussions, and I would say arguments in as much as, you know, attorney argues his case,
right.
So it's not like screaming or all caps on the internet,
right.
But about why it matters that organizations are grabbing our information, why it mattered that organizations are out there data mining us, why it matters that we're giving this stuff away. You need to be a little bit more thoughtful of what you're putting out on the internet, what you're posting. Do you post pictures of your kids? Do you post pictures? Do you post that you're going to be away this weekend?
Right.
You know, all this different stuff, plus the stuff we give away voluntarily online, other types of information that organizations are paying the likes of Facebook and Twitter
right.
a fortune. For that type of
business. And it's your activity that they're mining and then selling. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's your activity that you haven't given them the right to do this. This is one of the things people need to realize. You haven't given them explicitly the right to follow you, to mine you, but yet they have the ability to do that. And when they have when they've captured whatever you're doing, they're selling that. That's a product. Long before those big companies were advertising and making money, they were making money by selling what you did.
Except that if you click the terms of service,
right.
when you agree to use
that's
any of these services,
of yep.
Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you click the terms of service, you have agreed to
it's
give
the
them
fine
this
print.
Information.
It's the
that's
fine
the fine print.
Print.
Even to the point that now there's, well, it's nothing recent, the backlash about the photos you post to these services.
Right.
Are they allowed to use them in marketing? You have
there
to
you
almost
know.
Go in and actively say, no, you cannot, as
you,
opposed to saying, yes, you can.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how far is this going to go? Jeffrey and I are going to imagine how far is this going to go, and how could it be reconciled one day to our advantage, to the people who are using it, to where we have more control over that? Could it ever be like that? 20 after, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.